back, y'all. Rose on the house, the special Christmas Eve edition. I'm going to take this opportunity, Carol Grace, our baby daughter's call screening, and she took a call while we were having fun at her expense in the last segment. So she couldn't defend herself because she was taking a call. And
she just walked out the door, didn't she?
Maybe we don't have a call screener anymore. But a man called, and he said, Carol, we would appreciate it if Rosie and Jennifer would say hello to our grandmother, who never misses a broadcast. Longtime Mesa family, the Lesueurs. So, Jennifer, why don't you say Merry Christmas to Grandma Nina Lesueur?
Well, good morning, Grandma Nina. Hope you're feeling better today. Each day be a little bit better for you. Merry Christmas from our family to yours.
There you go. So if you'd like to talk landscaping, you can give us a ring, too, 1-888-767-4348. Folks are out shopping right now, John Jay. I made the mistake of waiting, and I had to get to REI at Cactus and Tatum yesterday about 3:30 in the afternoon.
How'd that go for you?
I should have just walked.
No place to park.
I should have just walked.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Yeah.
Any of those that are still shopping now.
Are y'all open today?
No.
No.
We're not. We just decided, you know what? It's been a long time since we've had a 3 or 4 day weekend.
Let's take it.
And right? We're closed on Sundays anyway. So Christmas being on a Sunday didn't get us a day off.
Can understand that argument for sure.
So we closed actually in today. But if somebody... One of the little last-minute things I really like, especially if you're on a little bit of a budget or if it's for a child, is to grab a little clay pot, grab maybe a couple packs of seed, maybe a little inexpensive pair of cotton garden gloves, a little hand tool, throw them into this pot, and you have a little Christmas gift basket.
Great idea.
And, of course, you can make it as big or as small as you want depending on your budget. But everybody, especially if they're a gardener, can use a pack of seeds of some kind. You're always looking for a hand trowel. I mean, it's never where you thought it was. And then, you know, you find them all and you got six of them for a while and then you don't have any. I don't know what happens to these things.
Kind of like eyeglasses.
Glasses.
Readers,
yeah. You know, adjustable crescent wrenches, vice grips. They all disappear, you know. And gloves you can never, the same way. I mean, you always find one.
You could theme that pot a little bit, too. I love big backyard pot with a little garden stuff in it, a little kitchen garden, a little lettuce, little herbs. You could set that up for somebody.
Creating a little herb garden is real easy. We had the other day a lady came in. She must have bought 20 or 30 herbs, assorted herbs. And that's what she was doing for different people, was putting together little herb gardens, little kitchen herb gardens.
That's perfect.
So there's all kinds of cute little things that you can do. Just a little pot of pansies. There's all kinds of things that'll make somebody happy. And, you know, gardeners are pretty appreciative. They generally don't care much what you get. You know, if you get them something, they're pretty happy. So
when I'm trying to get the kids, grandkids interested, I always plant radishes.
Yeah,
because they just in a day and a half,
you see something.
You see something. You know, you're not waiting for a week for that first little sprout.
Right.
So radishes are great kid seeds. Yeah,
you know, radishes, marigolds, you know, things that come up quick are a great idea. That's right.
We're talking a little bit later in the show, John Jay, about some of the favorite things, not necessarily the most frequently asked questions, in New Year's Eve next Saturday. We're going to take the show and we're going to talk about what the listeners and what we were asked about the most. But this week, we're talking about the things we liked doing or that we found out or that we discovered. You have any discoveries in the landscape and gardening industry that really tooted your whistle this year?
You know, I think the thing, I don't know if it's a discovery or not, but we've just done some, been fortunate and blessed enough to have the opportunity to really help transform some people's yards, you know, some young couples, especially in, you know, the South Scottsdale, Arcadia kind of areas that have bought older homes and, You know, we did one the other day. It was just a, you know, a very nice little Hallcraft red brick home in South Scottsdale, and they've lived there. They've done some indoor. They've really done a nice job inside in their kitchen, and then they're starting to venture outside in the backyard. They got a big dog, and backyard looked like an old backyard that hadn't had anything done to it, and a dead citrus tree, and it had a big dog living in it, and we were able to create some patio space, put up a pergola, a fire pit, and a nice, great new lawn area, and it just, you know, you look at stuff like that and go, wow, that was really cool. I'd like that backyard.
Are they able to coexist in that environment with the doggy, or did he get a little portion? Did they?
Well, we created a nice lawn area for him, and so yeah, he should be good to go. They actually ended up with a better, nicer lawn, bigger lawn than they had really before in usable space. So, yeah, it really turned out nice. So,
what dynamite little neighborhood. I mean, if I could own 100 of those Suggs and Hallcraft masonry homes between Campbell and McDowell, between Scottsdale and Pima, oh, man.
Great area.
Oh.
And it's really starting to transform, and with what's going on at Sky Song and Los Arcos or whatever you want to call it, and the McDowell Corridor now with being transformed, and it's Old Town Scottsdale, of course. You know, is you're all right there, and I would like to live close to the. You're talking about bucket list someday is move back to the hood. And live along the greenbelt, so you could get on your bike. You want to get on your horse, get on your bike, walk, just be able to get on that greenbelt and go and go. Sometimes we'll take our bikes down and park at Chaparral Park and ride, you know, all the way to ASU or, you know, do that sort of thing. So Tempe Town Lake, that kind of thing.
Man. Well, let's talk about, for those that are listening, things they might want to be thinking about right after the holidays. What are the things that they need to start being ready to do?
Great idea, because, you know, the holidays hit, and then, boom, it's time for rose bushes to trim, to feed. In fact, we've set our rose clinic. It's the 7th of January, that first Saturday in January, so be ready for that. So rose bush pruning and planting time, deciduous fruit trees we've already started getting. We got boysenberries and blackberries in the nursery.
Talk to me about... Where would you put a blackberry bush? What kind of orientation is required?
Probably on the north side of my house, in that little area that everybody has on their side yard that you don't know what the heck to do with. Be a great place. They take some room. They like a little afternoon shade. So, you know, it's
a vertical.
It's a vine, kind of a rambling, you know, viney thing that you can either attach up a trellis or up a structure, or you can just let it kind of sprawl out on the ground. Certainly, you know, if you don't have a lot of room, you want to keep it attached to something as best you can. But afternoon shade, plenty of water, they do pretty well here.
And those blackberries would be ready to eat when?
Well, I imagine it'd be a couple of years before you have much in the way
of
production.
What time of year?
Spring. You know, okay. I mean, or spring to early summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blackberries. That's not a plant I've ever even considered. We've tried strawberries with about as much luck
strawberries
at our house as tomatoes.
Yeah. The thing people do wrong with strawberries is they wait till spring to plant them. You should really have planted your strawberries in October, November, or early December, so they're coming on through the cool weather, because they're really hard to get to go through the summer here. You can shade them. You can do some different things. But, you know, winter strawberries are the way to grow here. In fact, Duncan Family Farms now has their own label, and one of the things they grow is strawberries, you know, out on the west side of town. So cool little Arizona gift, too, is buy Arizona-grown, you know, a little Arizona-grown gift basket of nuts. And, you know, we've got our nut growers, and we've got, you know, the – am I doing Julie Murphy's job here?
What's
it's an easy job to want to be part of, that's for
what's
sure.
What's the family farm close to the nursery on Hayden? It's on Pima.
Sing Farms?
Sing Farms. The only place I've found you can get whole buttermilk.
Yeah, and he doesn't have his farmer's market anymore, so I don't know where you're going to get that now.
Oh, man.
He does do his compost. He makes great compost and mulch and that, but so great idea. Little family, little Arizona grown fruits, vegetables, and nursery plants,
and the lawn. The winter lawn.
The winter lawn, you know, continues to, you know, grow. You want to make sure you're keeping it well fed. If we get this little cold snap, it could yellow out some lawns that aren't as well fertilized as they should be. So make sure we're feeding those. We like the Turf Royale product, 21714 analysis. Works great in summer and winter, but especially well in winter. Make sure that that it's, you know, again, turn the water off unless you're going to fertilize your lawn, water it in good one time, and then turn the water back off again. Make sure you're not letting it get too long. Now that it's cooling off, the growth rate will slow down some, so it won't be, you know, quite as big a chore to mow as close. Vegetable gardens, we're, you know, continue to harvest leafy greens and those winter type crops. Make sure you're keeping them well fertilized, and you can replant. I mean, do two or three plantings of our winter vegetables.
Staggering the plant.
Stagger it out.
The one year that worked for us, I thought, this is genius. Plant lettuce every 3 weeks, and then when it starts coming in, you've got that rotating crop to constantly be
clipping. Because you use a lot of lettuce, too. I mean, it's not like you can just a leaf or two. It takes, you know, if you've got, especially a big family, it takes a lot of lettuce. So you want to keep it coming. The other thing you want to make sure now, start thinking ahead a little bit, because 1st of January is here. 1st of February is tomato time, only 30 days away before we start planting tomatoes. So you want to have a place to do those. So now that your next rotation comes in and you start pulling some of the lettuce or doing some things, okay, that's the spot maybe where the tomatoes and the peppers and that sort of thing. We're only a little way from wanting to start planting those, so make sure you got for that.
I think first had it, Rosie Tomatoes. She ran the calculator on it, and she figured $147 tomato just isn't worth it.
It's just hard to find one that tame, though.
I do love a winter garden when it rains, though. It's just magic, the way it grows compared to putting your drips in or whatever.
You can't replace that nitrogen-laden mixture is fantastic.
Yeah. Even tastes better.
Yeah, amen. All right, folks, we're here with the Chris E. of Rosie on John J. Harper. You can join the show by dialing 1-888-767-4348. We've had several people text in this morning, and you're certainly welcome to do that at 411-923. Later on in the show, we'll be talking about things that we thought were the most interesting that we covered this year.